Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
May not realize what a big deal that becoming an estuary of national significance means, but this Pensacola Perdido Bay Estuary Program, this is the first time in 30 years. So it's been 30 years since the last estuary area and a body of water was designated. That's a big deal. And both Matt Posner, former commissioners in both counties, city council, former mayors, literally dozens of people have worked on this for a number of years. And you know, thank you to Senator Scott and Senator Rubio that really pushed it really hard on the Senate side. They kind of got the House in line to agree to do it, and they had their final vote on Monday.
Yeah, now this is okay. So this is a couple weeks old, but it's because I haven't been on the air. This is Colton Wright talking about the designation as an estuary of national significance being granted, the first one in what, 40 years. For the the Pensacola Perdido Bay Estuary Program, the PPBEP. We need a better acronym. No, and by the way, if you don't know where this, like how big the estuary, first, the designation is huge, okay? But second, like the estuary itself is massive. I had never noticed it before, but when I was driving home, we're coming home from Nashville, from Denver, but through Nashville, and I happened to notice on I-65. Mile marker 142. There was a sign now entering Perdido, Pensacola Perdido Bay Estuary. I'm like, oh my, it's a massive footprint. This is where all the water flows into, you know, these reservoirs, basically into these waterways. So it's a big deal. Now, I get on various local governments for the silly things that they do, the ridiculous things that they do. And don't worry, the 6-hour meeting of no decision making. For the Escambia County Commission. That's coming. I've listened to it. I haven't cut the audio. We'll do that probably on Monday. But I also love good news. And I love it when things are, like when government's going well. And in this case, it wasn't a good thing, but it sounds like a pretty good response to the problem. The runoff that muddied all of the water at Mulot Bayou in Santa Rosa County, which got a lot of Facebook attention and some news attention, and rightly so. Bobby Burkett, one of the new county commissioners, was talking about things that had been done, and he was a code enforcement guy back before he retired. I think retired anyway, before he ran as a county commissioner. But he kind of walked through what's being done to solve that problem.
I deal with Avalon and Mulet Bayou. Just give it a heads up of what we're doing. As of yesterday, they're putting out another $16,253 in citations. On Furlong for the developer for lack of erosion control, lack of land clearing permit, and illicit discharge. Total amounts for that have been $35,163. Damon Drive, we were $8,966 in fines. DEP and Water Management, from what we understand, both have been around $50,000 fines, and the federal EPA has a special agent looking for criminal charge as possible.
All good notes. It's only a matter of the inadequacy of that fine level. Again, I agree with Jerry Cooey, who says that the base cost of any fine ought to be the remediation cost of fixing the problem and then penalties on top of that. I agree with that. It just isn't current law, unfortunately.
Road and Bridge is laying down a 6-inch rock base on Damon Drive when the roadway dries out where we can get in there to do it, to assure that no sediment runoff is coming into the roadway itself and be prepared for paving. Hay bales and check dams have been installed by the county in the ditches to further reduce any sediment. And yesterday they put in a turbidity curtain down at the kitchen. So we are on top of it. We're working on it and looking at doing some possible changes in the upcoming months. So I think y'all will be pleased with the final outcome of this. We're getting a handle on everything.
And by the way, turbidity curtain is the they put a physical barrier down in the water with those kind of like yellow floats on top that basically separates one body of water from another part of that body of water so that you can control the contents and, you know, you don't have to continually be cleaning up all of it. You're cleaning up the parts you can clean up, if that makes sense. It's like oil spill stuff. It's what you see with oil spills. So that's all good news. I mean, it's bad that it happened, terrible that it happened, but, you know, the county is really working hard to kind of, you know, fix the problem and then figure out how they can recoup some of the cost of that and, you know, lay the blame for that. We'll come back to this in just a second because there was a couple of other good news notes out of that particular county commission meeting. That was the Thursday night that I was preparing to cover on Friday the 13th when I lost my voice completely and Bobby had to fill in for me. But, you know, hey, things happen. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
Yeah, the earlier accident I told you about on Scenic Highway is now gone, so there's no accidents to report right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Even Highway 90 through P Ridge and Pace is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you need air conditioning, heating, electrical, or plumbing work done, it kind of makes sense that a company that would do one might do more of those things because they're all kind of in that same, like, inside your house, complicated systems. You know, it's good to have a professional come in and take care of those things. Peden does all of that stuff. Again, air conditioning, heating, electrical, and plumbing. They've been doing it all on the Gulf Coast for 55 years. So Panama City, Pensacola, Tallahassee, Baldwin County, Mobile, they're like all over the area because they do it well, show up on time, professional installation, good quality products, stand by what they've done with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they, you know, typically run different specials every month. And the one they've got going this month is an end of year kind of a closeout. You might remember that back in August, they were offering $1,000 off of in-stock air conditioning systems because, you know, people aren't typically installing ACs and they, you know, in August, and they want to, you know, get rid of their systems for that year. Well, now the value has gone up, or the cost has gone down, however you want to think of it. $2,024, because it's end of year, $2,024 off any in-stock air conditioning system or generator. That's a pretty good deal either way. So whichever way you want to go, whatever discount you want to get, right now, end of the year is a great time to, you know, have some major improvements done in your home. Find out more at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com. Back to the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting where they were having various conversations about things that I thought were interesting. One was, now that James Calkins is no longer on the board, we can have a little bit more of a productive meeting going on. And, you know, that's true. Rhett Rowell and, you know, Bobby look to be, you know, straightforward folks who are going to talk about the issues and actually focus on the things that matter. And Kerry Smith, who is the new board chair, was kind of celebrating that and also mentioning us a little bit. The conversation here was about revenue diversification, various ways in which the county can, you know, properly align how it makes money with what people do, and what kind of just like a broad conversation about workshop topics if they're going to need to have conversations about.
One of the things in the past we've not been able to do is have this type of discussion, and without it getting derailed, I'm just going to keep it there. And I appreciate this. This is the things that we need to get done. This is. I was corrected on Andrew McKay's thing when I said something about where the sausage is made, and it was like, it's right, you know. The sausage is made is the bad place. This is where the pastries are made, the beautiful things. And this is, you know, we have some very important things that we need to start discussing, and revenue diversification.
This is so adorable. Because remember, I made the comment that Carrie Colton had kind of talked about, you know, this is how the sausage gets. Maybe we want these meetings to be boring. We want it to be sausage making. I'm like, sausage making is the bad part. It's the part you want to hide because it's ugly and you don't want people to see how it's done. And so pastry making is now the metaphor. I kind of like it.
We have revenue diversification. Yeah, that sounds weird. We have the capital plan. We have the wastewater treatment plant system. We have the LDC. I mean, these are all very, very important items that we need to be digging into. And the public needs their input on this as well. So this is a great opportunity to do these roundtable discussions in the auditorium, and to involve the public into this and make the pastries. Make the beautiful pastries. That's what I'm going to call it now.
Oh, that's adorable. 719 on News Radio 92.3. I just had to share that. I thought it was so cute. 719 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, or maybe, like, you know you should be, but you haven't been. Because maybe you're in the habit of, I'm going to drive it till the wheels fall off. When I don't have any wheels, then I'll go get a new car. No. You want to go shopping before there's need. because then you're in a better position to make good decisions. And you can be patient. You know, you can, classic rule of negotiation, if you can't say no, you shouldn't be negotiating, right? So if you can't walk away from a car because you're so desperate to get one, then you're not in a good place to negotiate and you're not in a good place to be buying. So you go look early before you really need to replace it. And then you can really pick what you want and then you can be choosy about the color, the trim level, the price, whatever, the number of miles, all that kind of stuff. And so if you go to Frontier, go look around, learn what you need to know, test drive a bunch of different cars and see what you really like and dislike. And if they've got it, I mean, great, buy it. They have good quality used cars, 1, 2, 3 years, young, low miles, great condition. That's all they do. If they don't have exactly what you want, send them looking. And it's, you know, feel free to say, look, hey, I like this car, but I'd be willing to pay a couple $1,000s less for 10 or 15, 20,000 more miles. You know, like that kind of thing they can do. And then they'll go looking because they're buying cars all the time. But they are there to help. They are there as a great resource. Pensacola's Frontier Motors, serving the area for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Find out how to dress for the changing Florida weather with Jen Wells. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
I want to thank all of our listeners who tune in to our daily Strength for Life segments here in Pensacola and across the country. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for your thoughtful feedback. Thank you for humbly letting God strengthen you through the principles of His Word and the power of His Spirit. If you're interested in more Strength for Life, please check out our YouTube channel. Our radio segments are only 60 seconds in length, but our YouTube video segments provide 4 to 5 minute videos of practical Bible content on topics such as overcoming jealousy, how to strengthen your marriage, and much more. Find our YouTube channel by searching Strength for Life Pensacola and be sure to subscribe. We produce fresh video content each week, which is certain to strengthen your walk with God and strengthen your relationship with others.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hi, my name is Michael Dylan Thompson, candidate for Congress here in my home district. I'm proud to be the only candidate who voters petitioned to be on the ballot. Every other candidate paid over $10,000 to qualify, often using either lobbyist or special interest money. As a born and raised Pensacola native, I will fight for my district. I will fix the insurance crisis created by establishment politicians, and I will protect our brave service members who keep America free. We don't need outsiders bringing Washington, D.C. corruption into Northwest Florida. We need new ideas and fresh leadership to fight for us. As your congressman, I pledge to always put Florida first. There's a critical election on January 28th, and I need your vote. This is our chance to take back our voice and send a clear message to the career politicians. We won't let special interests decide our future. Together, we can restore accountability, protect our values, and secure a stronger future for Northwest Florida. I'm Michael Dylan Thompson, and I'm proud to approve this message. Paid for by Michael Dylan Thompson, Republican for Congress, District 1.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays, The Weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Rearrange songs, yeah, in a different way. And Toby Mac doing "Oh Come All You Faithful." This is, oh, it's fantastic. Oh, speaking of that, did you see this story? This is, I think Bright, no, The Telegraph had it first, and then Breitbart reported on The Telegraph, and then Not the Bee, which is the, like, these are actual stories version of the Babylon Bee, the satire site, reported on this. In England, apparently, that, I mean, this is, you think I make up the transgressors? I never make up. I embellish, but I don't make up the underlying stories.
Mm-hmm.
In England, the Church of England, one of the vicars has basically been contacted and is now urging others to make sure the Advent and Christmas time hymns are not offensive to non-Christians. For example, O come, Emmanuel is not good because it implies that other faiths are outside of God's grace.
I mean, wow.
Oh, you mean Christianity? It's just, he comes with clouds descending. There's apparently problematic words because it talks about Jesus as the true Messiah.
Oh.
And, you know, and rescuing Israel, which is outside of God's grace at the time and needing rescue. You can't make this up.
You really can't.
And there's another one. It's one that I was less familiar with, but similarly, a, you know, sort of classic hymn. Would it maybe be appropriate to ask that the music we use in church teaches Christian doctrine rather than caters to not offending people who don't believe in the faith already? I mean, maybe I misunderstand. I love the way this is the writer for the Telegraph. I think he's an opinion writer, so it's not like news, but Celia Walden writes, "You see, priests have been told to edit popular carols this Christmas in order to avoid, I really need to create a custom keyboard shortcut for this phrase, quote, causing unnecessary offense." Or, you know, you could maybe just tell the truth. Now, I don't mind you telling truth in a way that is kind, helpful, edifying. You know, there are some people who don't know the difference between telling the truth and offending, and you don't make your point. You don't, you know, the goal of talking is to persuade somebody, produce a result. And if you talk only to persuade yourself, then it doesn't help much. And so the idea is to provoke other people to really get change enacted. So you do need to take account of what other people think. But, man, altering the hymns because the lyrics might offend some. Wow. David Wayne. So David Pickens and John Wayne are my co-hosts today. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to let you know about right now, but if you're at the intersection of 9 Mile and 29 going northbound, you're going to see some delays in that area. Other than that, traffic's rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Are you sure that's your name? Yeah, I am too.
I was like, I should go with John Wayne. I'm really
look,
digging
I like that. Dave, I'm surprised I never made that mistake yet. That's kind of a weird one. David Wayne is in the newsroom with David Pickens.
You know, if we're switching names around, Benny Barrancas sounds cool.
Benny Barrancas. All right. Look, are you adopting a local, you know?
Well, I figure I better have a street name like everybody else.
Like some people do, right?
Right. Yeah, some people. Yeah. So holiday spending was up this year. According to MasterCard's spending pulse data released yesterday, retail holiday sales were up 3.8% over 2023. That surpassed expectations of 3.2%. The biggest increase was seen in jewelry sales this year. Record number of viewers watched the Christmas Day NFL doubleheader on Netflix. The league says about 65 million combined viewers tuned in on Netflix to see the Kansas City-Pittsburgh game. And the Hells Angels Motorcycle Club is now officially a criminal gang in Nevada. That's according to the Nevada Supreme Court yesterday. They made a ruling which allows a court case to move forward involving a freeway shooting in May of 2022.
They managed to just figure this out now? Okay.
Thanks, slightly David. Behind the curve, possibly.
No kidding. Oh, my God. Have you guys seen the video of this Azerbaijan airplane that went down?
Oh, yeah.
And half the people survived. That's what's amazing is people were walking away from this. I don't know how anybody survived. And the original question was, what happened? How did, you know? Well, now we know.
If there was a bird strike, the presence of shrapnel inside the aircraft wouldn't be a factor. And the damage to the exterior of the aircraft would appear much different. The flight was likely shot down by a Russian air defense system of unspecified type and variant.
That's Matt Borey from Osprey Flight Solutions. He's the chief intelligence officer. They do work on, you know, safety issues relating to airlines, especially in conflict zones. And if you see some of the close-up video, it's really, there's shrapnel. There's clearly shrapnel. And this is yet another example of the Russians shooting down a plane. It's unbelievable.
Right. And you'll notice some of the bullet holes are bigger.
Yep.
That's anti-aircraft fire. So, I mean, there's no doubt that it was shot.
No doubt.
The video of that plane going down was just so interesting, too.
Yeah. But the pilots slow, and the pilots do. The pilots died, but the pilots saved people's lives. Yeah,
they were amazing.
It looked like the pilot was doing everything they could to slow the plane down for the softest impact they could.
Yeah, and it's weird to watch because it's kind of like in slow motion. You see it on the ground and catching fire and everything, but... Like they absolutely saved lives doing exactly what they're supposed to do after they got shot down by Russian AA and or missiles or both. Right? It is a crazy, horrible, awful story. 7:30 here on News Radio 92.3, the final installment of Days of Our Milton, the Milton City Council Melodrama Theater. That will come up next. Also, Mardi Gras Mambo comes up with the Ice Flyers on January 11th at the Pensacola Bay Center, including Little John and Young Jock.
Stevens' current House Speaker Mike Johnson could face a battle in the new Congress to maintain that post.
The breakdown is 219 Republicans to 215 Democrats. The Speaker of the House must win an outright majority of all members. Current Speaker Mike Johnson is on thin ice with the right flank of his party after last week's debacle over government spending.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. Some aviation experts think Wednesday's crash of an Azerbaijan Airlines jet in Kazakhstan was a result of Russian air defenses firing from Chechnya.
The Wall Street Journal reporting that an aviation security firm believes the flight was likely shot down by a Russian military air defense system after it evaluated the footage of the crash, damage to the aircraft, and recent military activity.
Fox's Chandley Painter, 38 people died in that crash. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3, 63 degrees right now. We've got cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. A Pensacola man is wanted on an attempted murder charge. Escambia deputies say 45-year-old Terrence Franklin should be considered armed and dangerous. Deputies believe he shot his roommate twice with a shotgun on Christmas Day. This allegedly happened after the two got into some type of argument at a home on Michael Drive. Deputies say the victim was shot in the leg and the chest and sustained serious injuries, but is expected to survive. Well, the new welcome sign at the foot of Three Mile Bridge is now under construction. That sign designed in a City of Pensacola contest earlier this year. That was won by Brianna Spence. Her design featured a pelican. City officials estimate that up to 100,000 people could see this sign every day as they head from Gulf Breeze into Pensacola. The city shared a video yesterday showing the progress of the construction. So far, a steel frame was put up at Bayfront Parkway and Gregory Street. An investigation continues after a drive-by shooting on Garden Street last week.
This individual, the victim, was sitting on a bench at the convenience store at the corner of Garden and Pace, and a vehicle pulled up. The driver rolled the windows down on the passenger side and shot through that window and hit the individual in the knee.
That is PPD's Mike Wood. He says investigators do believe the two men were familiar with each other. The victim's injuries were not considered life-threatening. Wood says the investigation should likely be concluded soon. So far, there's no information on a suspect or any potential motives. Well, a pregnant woman has been hurt after she was stabbed, apparently for leaving an insufficient tip. This happened on Sunday in Osceola County. The sheriff's office says Brianna Avello delivered a pizza to a motel and wasn't happy with the $2 tip she got on a $33 order. She allegedly left and came back with a knife and a man with a gun. The two allegedly forced their way into that motel room and stabbed the woman 14 times and robbed her. The woman was taken to a hospital and is in stable condition. While in the hospital, that woman also learned she was a few weeks pregnant. There's no word on the condition of the baby. The 22-year-old Alvello was arrested on Monday for attempted murder, kidnapping, and other charges as well. New York has canceled their New Year's Eve drone show in Central Park. This comes after that accident in Orlando that left a 7-year-old boy in the hospital with serious injuries. The drone show is set to be produced by the same company that produced the show in Florida, where two drones collided during a show and crashed down into the crowd. The show was part of the midnight race in Central Park being thrown by the Roadrunners in New York. Eglin Air Force Base has sustained a little damage to their main gym after a fire on Christmas Day. Officials say their fitness center is going to be closed until further notice. The good news is there were no injuries. They're still looking into the cause of the fire. And if you want to get rid of your Christmas tree, there's some easy ways to get rid of those across the area in Escambia County. You can just place the tree by the curb and have it picked up with your yard waste, or you can drop it at one of four sites across the county. In Santa Rosa County, there's five sites you can drop a Christmas tree off at. Both counties ask any tinsel and decorations be removed before you drop it off. Trees can also be taken to the Gulf State Park in Alabama. We've got a full list of Christmas tree drop-off sites in both Escambia and Santa Rosa counties, and that's going to be on our website at newsradio923.com. 7:35, let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. John, what are you seeing this morning?
Well, not seeing any accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm not seeing any delays to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We will have a cloudy day today with a 40% chance of an isolated shower and thunderstorm, especially as we head into the evening hours. A few storms could be strong. High near 71 degrees today, low tonight near 66. For Saturday, showers and thunderstorms likely, especially in the late half of the day going into Sunday morning. Severe threat possible with this under a level 1 and 2 out of 5. 72 for your high on Saturday. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 65 degrees. Stay connected. Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 63 in Pensacola. It is 61 in Gulf Breeze, 58 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock. We have breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Despite General Motors' decision to shutter its Cruise robo-taxi business earlier this month, the U.S. has never been closer to a driverless future. For the autonomous vehicle industry, 2024 will be remembered as the year that at least one major U.S. player, Alphabet-owned Waymo, saw glimmers of mainstream adoption. Domestic competitors are working to catch up to Waymo, most notably Elon Musk's Tesla and Amazon's Zoox. According to a MasterCard Spending Pulse report, online spending during the holiday shopping period from November 1st to December 24th grew by 6.7% year over year. This compares to a 2.9% increase for in-store sales. Chinese electric vehicle giant BYD is offering discounts until January 26th on two of its hybrid and EV models. That's according to its website. Both SongPro DMI and Quinn Plus EV are now discounted by 11.5% and 9.1%, respectively. Futures are slightly lower. That's Your Money Now.
We're sharing more than ever before during the 2024 Subaru Share the Love event. Now through January 2nd, when you purchase or lease a new Subaru, Subaru will donate $250 to your choice of four nationally recognized charities: the ASPCA, Make-A-Wish, Meals on Wheels, or the National Park Foundation. Or choose our local charity, the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association, and Anderson Subaru will add an extra $250 to Subaru's donation. And for every routine Subaru vehicle service visit, Anderson Subaru will donate $5 more to the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association. So far, we've donated over $175,000 to help fight breast cancer in Pensacola. Get a great vehicle and support a great cause at the Subaru Share the Love event now through January 2nd. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
$250 donation for new purchase or lease. Promotion ends January 2nd. See retailer or AndersonSubaru.com/share. For details.
Are you ready to experience healthcare that truly cares? At VIP Care, they're not just your primary care provider, they're your healthcare partner. Specializing in primary care for adults 65 and older, VIP Care's compassionate doctors focus on prevention, creating personalized care plans to keep you healthy and active. With four convenient clinics in Pensacola, same-day appointments, and a dedicated on-call provider available 24/7, VIP Care makes healthcare easy and accessible. Visit getvipcare.com to find a clinic near you.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Were any of the people been out there to look at where the 24 acres are? Some people have, right? It's a bad location, period. End of story. And so we need to move it. No offense against our current staff, but they don't have the experience what's required to oversee this. And we need to have a project engineer. We need to advertise for one.
So Mike Cusack, just to recap slightly, if you have not been listening all day, Mike Cusack, the former minority member of the city council, but since the election where the Pitchfork Posse got their way and threw out all four of the candidates who were on the other side of this issue, they've now got four candidates in who opposed the location of the wastewater treatment plant at the site that has been permitted, paid for, approved, engineered, and is ready to go, except for a small handful of people who managed to persuade a whole bunch of other people that they were going to destroy the river with it, including Mike Cusack, who has been the now leader of the majority and has been raising all these questions, says that it's a bad location with his engineering degree. Does he have one? Meanwhile, Baskerville Donovan, the engineers who approved the site, I mean, who actually engineered the plant, because they're actual engineers who actually know what they're doing, who wouldn't put their sign off on it if it weren't a good site, DEP, getting all the permits and so forth. Anyway, Mike Cusack says, no good. We don't have any staff who can build this. Meanwhile, Joe Cook, the public works director, has actually built four of these plants. He's the one that they all celebrate every time he brings them a new truck that they gotta buy a truck to replace a truck that's got 1.5 miles on it. You know, that guy, like Joe Cook, who's a genius with all the stuff. No, they don't want to trust him. Then you're getting threats from the public about this. Lauren Cooper. Cooper's Basin, Lauren Cooper, although she goes by Lauren Odgers now.
My family's cemetery sits right there where y'all are wanting, and they're going to clear cut. And if there is damage to that cemetery, there are a lot of Coopers. I'm just, it's not a threat, it's a promise. I was made to promise that, but there's a lot of us, and we'll come.
I mean... may not be an expert on the legal distinction here, but sounds like a threat to me.
I didn't get approved for that because the land's bad. Don't put anything else over there. It's horrible land. And if you damage that cemetery, I'm telling you, a bunch of us.
So again, on the one hand, you have a group of really worked up citizens. On the other hand, you have one of the most reputable engineering firms in this area, Baskerville Donovan. You have DEP, you have the grants, you have another person in the grants writer, Sandy Woodbury, who actually lives there also and thinks this is a great project and has put her life and blood and sweat into making this project happen for the last several years. So there was ARPA funding on the line, about $5 million of it, 4.7. Ed Spears says, that's the city manager, says they can salvage about $500,000. They kept coming back to this again and again. And actually, when, again, the vote comes to move the site, terrible, unbelievable decision to flush $50, $60, $70, maybe $80 million down the drain on a project that had been ready to go. And now it's going to cost $100 to $120 and may never happen, may never get funded. And in the meantime, we can't take on new business customers because, you know, sewers for them. We're going to have to put people on septic tanks instead of sewer because we're at our capacity. And by the way, didn't even solve the problem of where to put the current effluent that gets put into the Blackwater River lawfully, but has been told by DEP you have to get that out of the Blackwater River by December of next year. And they don't really have a plan for that now either. But okay, all of that, you know, that's all sort of beside the point. The hyperbole of what could go wrong with the plant location, again, that's been the thing that the Save Our Blackwater people, concerned citizens of Milton, have been putting out there is, you know, all of these crazy, you're going to kill the sturgeon, you're going to kill the city, you're going to kill the river, the plant's going to explode, it's going to slide down the mountain. I'm not even exaggerating, I'm just telling you. This is Robert Leake, one of the new city council members and a former city council member.
I guess my question, and you and I have had long discussions on this, my question is, what's one life worth?
One life?
And if we do not plan this appropriately, it's going to cost us more than $4 million.
What life? Who's going to die? We're not talking about killing people because of an engineered, permitted, funded wastewater treatment plant on the water like all the other wastewater treatment plants are on water. Bayou Marcus is on water. The cantonment facility for ECUA is on water. We're going to kill people now?
We had certainly hoped that Mr. Spears and Attorney Andrade would be able to find creative solutions that might help save this money. But if ultimately Mr. Andrade and Mr. Spears say there are no creative solutions, we got to save our river and our way of life.
That's Lauren Cooper, the architect of all of this. And by the way, she won. I mean, she won. She created a publicity campaign. She said the things that she said. She got other people to say the things that she believed. They got their folks elected. They won. In the political process, they won. And they managed to kill this whole thing. Now, meanwhile, there are people who are still trying to stand up for it in this meeting. Okay, you had the grants manager. You had other folks kind of trying to explain again what was going on here. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. Just one little accident that just happened on Brent Lane and Old Palafox Highway. No roadblock is associated with that. I'm not even seeing some delays, but I wanted you to be aware. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the city of Milton for our final installment, at least for today, of Milton City Council Melodrama Theater. Alex Andrade, who is the state representative, but is more importantly the city attorney for the city of Milton, is trying last-ditch effort to explain to city council that it's just nonsense and smoke underneath what they're about to do.
I just do want to make clear, I don't believe that FDEP or any environmental regulatory agency approved a dangerous condition for construction. This was permitted as a safe project. That was the purpose of the permitting process.
But all of these well-informed citizens know better than Baskerville Donovan and DEP and everybody else. And he's trying to get them to see some sense. Robert Leake, again, one of the new city council members.
It looks like by these recommendations, the only option is to reject all bids and rebid the project. And I know that we are going to lose some money. But if we build this thing right the first time, away from any waterway, I think that we are making the best decision for the future. And so
we're giving up a known funded permitted project for an unknown, unfunded, unpermitted maybe. And you hear the applause because that's what at least the people who showed up wanted to have happen. And I know, like, you hear me be critical of Mike Cusack pretty heavily. It's the things he doesn't understand are amazing to me. And again, so like so certain, so arrogant, so contemptuous, the way he treats this stuff. He's talking about, okay, the plant that's designed on the one site, the 24-acre site, moving that plant to maybe the 80-acre site or to some other site. And I just, there's a couple of words to understand, okay? Modular, it's a modular site in the sense that it is in four, it's designed to be up to four, $8 million gallons per day of treatment, four 2 million capacities. Like, you can add a module. That's what it's designed to be. Kind of like the jail was built, and you can add a second module to double the capacity at the jail that we just built a couple years ago. That's the concept. But I just want you to listen to this and ask yourself this question. Does Mike Cusack, the so-called brilliant risk manager guy, understand what the word modular means?
So I will make the motion to reject all bids and rebid the project.
That's Robert Leake.
Mayor, if I may, the rebidding would be with the current design.
Okay, so then we need to...
If I could recommend that you reject all bids, and authorize staff to enter into a contract to redesign the system at another location.
Yes, that'll work.
Is it not a modular system to begin with? That's wastewater treatment plant is a modular system to begin with?
I'm not talking.
Okay.
That's next.
Okay.
Does he think modular means prefabricated? I think he does. I think in his mind, modular means you can pick it up to some other location and move it anywhere you want to move it because it's prefab or portable or something like that. Like, he literally doesn't understand what the word modular means in this context.
A quick question. The plant is basically modular in design, correct?
That's correct. It's designed.
So really, I'm not an engineer, so I'm trying to figure out why would there be an additional cost for redesign if it's already a modular building that's already been designed.
John, be my normal voice. Okay. Be my normal voice. Tell me I'm the crazy one. Tell me I'm the one who's missing it somehow. Please don't tell me that. He's gone through this whole process leading the charge against this site location, saying that site location is no good and the engineers don't know what they're doing, and repeatedly casting aspersion on the staff and Baskerville Donovan, acknowledging he's not an engineer. Please tell me he doesn't think modular means portable or prefabricated.
I'm sorry, but he does.
An engineer, so I'm trying to figure out why would there be an additional cost for redesign if it's already a modular building that's already been designed.
Any design of a facility of this nature is site-specific. It has to be. You just can't pick it up and put it down somewhere else. This one was designed to utilize the slope that's been discussed many times for gravity flow through the plant.
It's not a mobile home. I mean, come on now.
That's Baskerville Donovan's person patiently trying. It reminds me of when Hank Johnson asks the admiral, well, if we put too many people on Guam, are you not worried the island's going to tip over? And then the admiral has to be like, sir, we do not consider that to be a risk at this point. What do you do when somebody says, why is there a re-engineering cost? It's modular, isn't it? Bro. Shush. Please stop. So they unanimously got rid of the effluent plan that would get them in compliance with DEP and use the ARPA money, and they unanimously voted to move the plant. That's your city council at work. By the way, sorry, there's so much. I want to take you back for just a second, just because I don't want to leave without playing this. Joe Cook, again, the public works guy, as of last year in January, actually explained all of this.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, are we getting the best bang for our buck? Are we getting the
That's
best?
My Cusack. Back then
is what I'm asking.
You are. Okay. You're getting the very best that they are out there designed. We had this plant redesigned 3 years ago because the other plant was obsolete. It was updated, and you are getting the best plant that we can furnish at this day and age. You're getting one that meets all the requirements of DEP. It is a tertiary plant. It produces water that a reuse standard, which is more than what DEP requires us to do. We had the test run by University of Florida for the PFAB, and we found out just a week ago that we get 80% of them out. We did not know beforehand.
2 years ago almost, Joe Cook explained this.
This plant has sound engineering. It is signed off by the experts that designed it, and they are true experts.
BDI.
I've not heard an expert get up here and speak or at the county board meeting.
Amen, brother.
People say they're experts, but I ain't seen any credentials of them. I've seen electrical engineers get up and speak about civil engineering practice.
Different disciplines.
I don't think he was qualified to speak for those.
Oh, and by the way, the whole issue of being on the river?
This plant, we have done water quality tests from Cooper's Basin every 3 weeks, all the way down to below the plant. Below our discharge is better water quality than anything up the river.
That's the current plant with its effluent?
So we're not polluting anything. This new plant will not pollute anything. It's not going to kill anybody, as people have said. It's going to treat the water as it should. The city of Pensacola, they keep talking about moving upstream. The city of Pensacola plants upstream.
It is. I mean, the one is upriver. It's on the Escambia River on the one side, the main plant, and then the Barcas Bayou plant is on the water on the other side, on the Perdido Bay side. Oh, and is Joe Cook an expert? Does he know what he's talking about? Has he ever done this before?
Mr. Cook, are you the only person in this room who's actually built a wastewater treatment plant?
I have built 4 wastewater treatment plants in the Panhandle of Florida. Yes, I have.
Oh, my God.
Thank you for your expertise, sir.
Thank you.
Anybody else got any questions?
Is a slope, what you're saying is built on a slope will not affect, it's not a negative
there
effect?
Is nothing wrong with the site that this plant is sited on. In my opinion, it is the best site that I have saw in Santa Rosa County. It is a better site than any site I ever built a plant on. Most plants I built was in the lowlands next to the wetlands. And at that time, DEP would allow you to dump into the wetlands. DEP will not allow you to dump in the wetlands anymore.
But no, don't trust the expert, the engineers, DEP, the permit givers, the grant giver. Don't trust any of them. Trust a couple of citizens who got upset that it was going to be built close to their backyard and a certifiably non-expert city council member in Mike Cusack. And an election. Elections have consequences. I don't know what else to tell you. John, are you entertained or are you angry?
I don't know which one to be. I'm feeling all these emotions all at once.
It's crazy.
Nuts.
It's so crazy.
So we wasted all this money doing the surveys, the engineering.
That's right.
And all that.
All the sunk costs that are just plain gone.
And the years of...
All the grants are going to be even harder to get now that you wasted their time the first time around. That's right. Yeah. And now... If you manage to keep your employees, I got to go back and find it again. Hopefully, maybe. And that's why I say, Milton will never not be the source of great melodrama. John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Not seeing any new accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good, even 98. Rolling toward Fort Walton Beach and coming from are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Banakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Banakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Banakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Banakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Banakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Banakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Good morning, 7:58. Sorry, 59 here on News Radio 92.3. Somebody says, I'm sure Baskerville Donovan has been well paid for this, but if I were them, I would charge Milton the full amount of any redesign or make them go to somebody else. I wouldn't want to go through this pain all over again. Man, I understand that. It's amazing. David Wayne's in the newsroom with an update for us. A couple of headlines. David?
Well, the police chief in Boulder, Colorado, says his staff is still committed to finding JonBenet Ramsey's killer. She was 6 years old when she was found dead in her home the day after Christmas 1996. The police department there is planning to use new DNA technology in that investigation.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.